Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is time for a Bears beat report with our guy, Mark Grody, who is tremendous and apparently saw that I was at Soldier Field yesterday, and he and Emma got together, took a picture, and said, Bears, in the picture. And it was very much received with the way that it was meant, with love.
So I thought of Grody yesterday when Doug Kramer lines up in the eye as the mini fridge.
Oh.
I mean, all of the local Chicagoland Bears growths, and Eberflus said, he's one of the Chicagoland guys. You gave him how many Bears? I think 11 or something. How many more Bears does he get for being the mini fridge in the I formation yesterday?
It's a great question. I do believe that initially I had given him 8 Bears just because he's from here, but he hadn't played. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even on this team for part of the year last year. They let Doug go, and then they brought Doug back. So Doug was at 8 Bears. Automatically, he goes up a full Bear, so he's up to 9 Bears.
Oh.
Now, if he gets in the end zone, he might ascend to a 10. Maybe he ascends to a 10. But that was awesome, wasn't it? It's like, oh, this is what you're doing. You know what, though? Like, that's an adjustment. That's an adjustment. Those are the things that we want to see from the Bears offense, and they're actually doing concrete things to make the Bears offense better. They're not going to be huge things always, but that was an adjustment. It made the Bears better on 2 plays yesterday.
And how could we not think that it is a result of all the communication from the leadership council last week and from Mercedes Lewis talking about Shane Waldron the way he did? It has to be causal with that communication, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think there were some very specific areas that the players were talking about and things that they wanted from their offensive coordinator, which, by the way, subsequently will probably go to the heads of all coaches in there, not just Shane Waldron, but every other assistant has got to be paying attention going, oh, this is how they want it. They want the realness. These are dudes, not guys. Okay. I think that this is what a lot of coaches have been wanting to hear. I mean, it's honestly, I haven't talked to the assistants recently, or we're going to talk to them soon, but it's got to be a dream for them. Like, oh, okay. You guys want us to show you how it really is. And so I think that yeah, I think some of it probably was causal, and I do hope that it continues throughout the year. I mean, this is just the beginning. Hopefully these aren't just words and the communication stays at a high number, which it seemed to be at yesterday.
So, Groats, you got Bears fans like waiting for you to just unload the clip on all the things that you've got. What do Bears fans need to know today?
Yeah, I think after a good win yesterday and a lot of moments were certainly celebrated for the Bears, for offensively and defensively and justifiably, day two, I think, is a more of a perspective day, at least from my perspective. Caleb Williams had that terrific touchdown pass to DJ Moore in the third quarter, but in the second quarter, there was a miss to DJ Moore on the 3rd and 15 from the 22 of the Rams, and I asked Flus about it.
I talked to Caleb this morning. You know, as you know, I meet with him at 9:15, and we talked about that particular play. And we really just about – it's about being on the – I wouldn't say the same page. It's just having that continuity with those guys running the routes, you know, because everything changes. You know, the coverage changes, who he's running it against, and then we just got to do a good job of them working together with different variations of different coverages during that time. Again, they just got to be on the same page there in terms of going vertical or leaning out or leaning in. And those guys will get that. You know, more time on task, those guys will get that continuity.
Matt, what did Caleb communicate to you about what he saw in that specific instance?
You know, it's a ball where he's taken off, right, and just stays straight. You know, he just stays straight right there, and then he's going to, you know, put some steam on the ball. It's really a one ball there, and that was just what the play was.
Interesting. So is that on Caleb then for not thinking that DJ was going to cut it that way? Because it sure – what's your takeaway from the explanation?
No, it's a great question because it does feel a little bit ambiguous. I do think he is putting it on the quarterback in that particular situation in terms of where the play – like, look, he said something to the effect of reading where the defenders are. I don't think that that was on DJ Moore. I do think that that was on Caleb Williams to be, you know, on alert for changed coverage and to watch what the safeties and the corners are doing on that particular play. So I could see he did muddy it up a little bit, but I came away, and Lawrence, I don't know what you thought, but I came away from it thinking that that's more on Caleb than it is on DJ Moore.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And it's funny because Spiegs and I both have in our notes today, like, not that there's a problem, but it seems like the quarterback and receiver are not quite seeing the same thing. Is that fair?
Especially DJ, you mean?
Yes.
Well, even Roma Dunze, we've seen it with him on a couple of occasions as well. There have been, I mean, even going back to the preseason, I remember there being just a bad pass to Gerald Everett at one point in time where he put it on the wrong side of him. So I do think that this is all stuff, too, that I think can be cleaned up. There's an accuracy component to it as well. And also, yes, believe it or not, being on the same page. I mean, I was trying to get to the bottom. Like, I wanted more specifics on it, like who, because you're right, Spiegs. I mean, he never really made it exact on whose fault it is. And I know that they don't want to necessarily do that. But I think that, you know, I was able to infer from it that that is a Caleb thing. And you guys are right. I mean, like, it's there have been a lot of opportunities that have been left on the table. Caleb Williams' progress has been good, but if we're gonna set the bar at generational, I think these things got to be looked at and dissected and inspected.
Let's get back to DJ Moore, you and me, Lawrence, at some point. I think there's a lot there, and a lot of Bears fans are looking at him, looking at body language, and
you don't want to overstate things. You know, because we've gone through the body language experts before.
I
do think that it's enough where you go, maybe that should be discussed further.
Well, I think it should be discussed further, especially, I guess, from my perspective, I hate the patterns he's being asked to run.
I'm right there with you.
So you wonder if he does. But let's move on, Groats. All the player and coach communication last week, what did the Flus think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good question because, you know, we talked, it was the theme of last week, but here we are now, a week of that. You win a game, and as you said, Spiegs, there was some stuff that was causal, it felt like, in terms of the better communication and the better execution. So, Matt Eberflus, what did it all mean?
What was your interpretation of what the players were looking for when they were kind of pushing for more accountability and to be coached a little bit harder?
I think it was more accountability, really, amongst the group. You know, I don't like making the division between coach and player as a partnership, meaning that, you know, if something's wrong, a player's, you know, can say, hey, let's get that over again, coach. That's okay. You know, we do it all the time, you know, so it's important for them to step up, you know, because sometimes they'll see something because they're in there blocking it. Say, hey, we got to do that again, coach. And that was really the accountable piece of the partnership. You know, the whole group, a whole unit, special teams unit, offense unit, defense unit, football team, making sure we get it right. Because we know when it's right, and the players know when it's right. So let's, if it's not right, let's speak up. Let's do it again.
Okay. So just saying it from the group perspective. I'm cool with that. I mean, I think
we're in the same boat, Speaks. I feel like what happened last week can be a real positive if you let it be. I don't think that it has to be a negative just because a team met early on in the season. Sometimes there has to be communication that takes place when you've got a new group of people in a new situation.
Absolutely. I am really annoyed, frankly, at the are we having too many meetings, which was a topic on our beloved morning show this morning. Are the Bears having too many meetings? It is a game where you need to meet and talk about stuff. It's like the most... There's teamwork matters so much. Communication matters so much with all 11 people. Like, let's not do the are we having too many meetings thing.
I think that what we all want, and mostly from the fans' perception, I'm assuming, is that we want them to care. We want the players to care. When they do what they did, when they had the meetings and they were very direct about what they wanted on their coaches, that showed me that they care a lot. Some teams don't care. Some teams don't really care about winning that much. You could probably say that about the previous 2 years with the Bears. This team is different in that way. I don't know how much they're going to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
I picked them to win a lot of games this year, but the fact that we know that they care, I think, is huge. So I just hope that it continues on this path, that this wasn't just a one-off, and that they don't sort of recede back to their old habits and things like that, and that Shane Waldron continues to be authoritative. And you know, going through the locker room yesterday, man, like talking to DJ Moore and several of the offensive players, like they're all like, yo, we don't want to get called out. So something happened last week. And players always get called out during film review. It's normal, but I don't think they're being as subtle about it anymore. That's the feeling that I'm getting. I think that's healthy, and I hope it continues.
I think the idea of are we having too many meetings is more about the talk show news cycle and our own exhaustion with it than it is actually the reality.
Right, it was
of the
whole
situation.
Week. It was the whole week. I mean, I understand
yeah,
that.
I get
everybody
it.
Gets exhausted by the topic. That's what it was every day, but I thought it was compelling as hell, quite
yeah.
frankly.
Yeah, it was really honest stuff, I thought, too, from inside the locker room. And I get how some people go, wow, that's not something that you ordinarily see this early in a season.
Mm-hmm. No.
But it can be a positive if worked correctly. How is the progress of the quarterback been perceived by teammates?
Yeah, I thought Cole Kmet was great today, and he and Caleb hooked up on a hell of a play, a 22-yarder up the middle at one point in time. And Kmet was asked the question about Caleb's ability to specifically read NFL open.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's great, and I think he's gotten better and better at that as really since the start of training camp. And, you know, him recognize, I think he's seeing things quicker now. He's always done a good job at diagnosing the defense, but I think, you know, at first it maybe took him a few extra seconds to really see what was happening. I think he's seeing it a little bit quicker now, recognizing that stuff. You know, he has a good understanding of, he knows what he's doing. You know, like the throw to DJ, they got a safety and he looks to the left to kind of keep the safety tucked over to the left for a little bit, knowing that DJ's one-on-one with a linebacker. And, you know, he knows that matchup and you're gonna take that all day. So he did a really good job there with that. And I think he's done what I've been impressed with, you know, all the great stuff that he's done, obviously in college, and all the crazy plays I'm sure he made throughout his college career. He's doing a good job of just kind of taking what the defense was giving him the other day. And, you know, to do that in your fourth game is really, really impressive.
Can we talk about the needle thread throw to Cole Kmet right mm-hmm. down the middle and just over somehow the outstretched fingertips of the linebacker hitting, like layering it in there? Just freaking gorgeous. But I hope Kurt Warner was listening to that answer from Cole Kmet.
I love that play. I think that that might have been his best throw of the day. Now, the 3rd-and-9 touchdown pass was pretty sick, too, in the back of the end zone. So I'm not going to fight people who think that was his best throw. But that was like, watching Matthew Stafford, who made some mistakes that are uncharacteristic, it's like, that was a Stafford play. You know what I mean? Like, just flinging it anywhere he wants to over the field. And I like that Caleb was being safe with some of the throws yesterday and getting DeAndre Swift heavily involved in the passing game, too. But eventually, that 22-yard zip play to Cole Kmet down the middle of the field, that's the stuff we want to see on the regular from Caleb Williams.
I'm convinced that if the offense can score 24 points, the Bears with their defense will be in great shape for the rest of the season. How did the Bears feel about their defensive performance?
Well, you'd think that they'd be like, oh, yeah, this is great. We're awesome. But hold on. Wait till you hear what Jalen Johnson had to say about the Bears' great defense.
Is there anything that surprised you about how good you guys have been the first 4 weeks?
Nah, honestly, we haven't been good enough, quite honestly. I feel like we definitely haven't taken away the explosive play that we want to. We definitely let some of those go. We definitely have got hit in some of our runs, just not being disciplined, not being where we're supposed to be consistently. I mean, things like that are going to happen, but for us and our standard, we definitely haven't, I don't think, even scratched the surface for what we know we can do, because we're shooting ourselves in the foot. It's not like guys are just making, the offense is just making one-on-one touches or anything like that. It's just simply us missing a gap and trying to do too much, or guys not fitting and cracking and placing fast enough, things like that. So those are all things we can fix, so we can be really even better.
What was the point of emphasis then this morning on some of those plays over the middle of the field that they were able to hit? Yes.
Really, I think just getting in our drops. Cause I mean, it's crazy because we do all this so well in practice, and we kind of get to the game and kind of start seeing a little bit too much. So we're just getting in the gaps. We know coming against that team, they like throwing the ball between the numbers, between the hashes. So definitely not being where we're supposed to be, I feel like, as far as our drops, not getting good enough depth, getting really just closing those windows if it's us on the outside or whatever the case may be. So just finding ways to take away what we know teams are going to try to hit us with.
Man, what wonderfully specific stuff with Jalen that we get to follow up on at 5 o'clock right here on the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. And it's good, too, because you don't want them to be walking around all puffy-chested. There were a lot of – I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Atwell was running wild yesterday in the middle of their defense. But when you look at the way Jaquan Brisker played yesterday, the way that Montez is like – out there destroying stuff, and Jervon Dexter with a good game yesterday as well. There's so much to be excited about what they do defensively.
Kevin Byard got beat in the backfield on a one-on-one play. It was 3rd-and-3, I think, and Byard got there but got juked. And I'm still waiting for some of that Kevin Byard value in terms of his own play on the field, Groats.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like, we're waiting for him to make some plays. He has had plenty of interceptions throughout his career. We know that it wasn't great with Philadelphia, you know, for part of last year. So, you know, keep an eye on that as well. Montez Sweat got in on the sack game yesterday. He had a terrific strip sack in this game.
Yeah, and then you antagonized him.
Well, I mean, I had to keep it going, you know, because he said something that perked my interest. I'm like, oh, let me follow up on that. So here is Montez Sweat in the locker room, followed by Matt Eberflus on his strip sack yesterday. Here is Sweaty.
Man, I felt disrespected, honestly, man, with a tight end on me. I did what I was supposed to do.
It's funny that you say you feel a little offended by that as opposed to relieved, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I see around the league some of these good edge rushers getting these one-on-ones with these tight ends, and I kind of look back at my film, and I see I don't really usually get those opportunities, so it was cool to get that opportunity that one time and capitalize on it.
So are you thinking, what are they thinking?
I definitely felt disrespected.
Montez can say what he wants, you know. He's a grown man, so, you know, they had the receiver coming back there to help him out. You know, that was the design of the protection. You know, they actually had two guys assigned to him. And again, I'm not sure if they were fitted up the right way there, but again, Tez had a great rush and did a nice job with the sack fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's Montez.
Oh, yeah! This week on That's Montez, Tez is pissed about a lot of things. But what we're pissed about at Tez, it's got to do with a property line issue. He mowed the lawn yesterday, and he went over into the neighbor's front yard.
Oh, no,
what
Tez
will happen tonight when the cops show up when Tez doesn't stand down? This week on That's Montez.
Why does Shane sound like Red Fox in his promos?
It's a really good question.
You're all that in a bag of chips.
I flushed the toilet.
Oh, man. It was beautiful to watch Montez just throw that tight end and then the wide receiver around.
You can tell he was offended.
Yes!
The way that he played that play was like, are you serious?
Really?
Yeah.
This is what
we're doing? This is what we're doing?
Go on over there with that. I'm going to throw you over there.
The way he's like, yeah, some good-ass rushers be getting one-on-ones with the tight ends. Where's mine?
I have a good authority that he went up to the head coach, McVay, afterwards and just went up to him and said, uh-huh.
That's Montez.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's I'm sorry. Can you imagine?
Still got what you meant. You stay. You still hit the dismount.
Even
you, Montez.
He's the best. He is truly the best. I'm sorry, Lawrence.
No,
go ahead.
Go ahead. You got it.
I was gonna say. Finally, I was. I know that you guys. Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
on Wednesdays?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah. I caught that, which I think is a great idea because we need to know when to turn the page. I hate to do it a little bit prematurely. God. May I do it? May I do like a pregame show
for
turning the page?
I haven't finished reading the page we're on, Groats.
Okay,
but sure.
But give me this moment. Give me
one minute and 30
because these guys, for some reason, Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet perked up when they were asked about Andy Dalton. Check it out.
The Red Rifle. That's my guy. I mean, really just savvy. He's been around for a long time. That name came from when he was at the Bengals. So, I mean, that was some time ago. So, I mean, he's seen a lot of coverages, seen a lot of blitzes. So, I mean, kind of like Stafford in a way where he's going to be able to pick up some things. So, we got to do a good job disguising. We got to get hits and pressure, make them kind of uncomfortable in that in the pocket. But also, I mean, like a lot of the quarterbacks, they get pressure in their face. They kind of tend to throw some bad throws and make some bad decisions. So for us in the secondary, we got to be where we're supposed to be, and then the front got to get after them.
What do you remember about practicing against the Red Rifle?
A few interceptions in practice for sure. But I mean, good arm talent.
I love Andy. I think he's a great quarterback. I know he's always believed in himself as, you know, one of the top 32 guys in this league that he should be a starter in this league. And he's showing that right now in Carolina. Obviously a very veteran quarterback, a guy that knows what he's doing, can get the ball out quickly, has a good knowledge of defenses. And so he's seen a lot in his day, and it'll be a good challenge for us. You know, this is now they're a team that's kind of up and rising since he's taken over, and it'll be a good challenge for our defense. But, you know, watching them from afar so far, definitely happy for Andy and what he's been able to do for the past couple of weeks.
Best nickname for a quarterback? Red Rifle.
You got to give me some examples or some names. I don't know too many quarterbacks that got nicknames like that. But not a Red Rifle is a good one.
By the way, I was not ready for that because he's looking at me. Give me some more examples. I go, my man, I have no other examples of quarterbacks with nicknames. And so we were talking about there was Samoan somebody or other that Potash was talking about.
The throwing Samoan? That's Marcus Tuiasosopo.
Maybe that – oh, nice work, Spiegel. That's who it was. We were all trying to come up with the examples. I was not ready. Raising my hand. Jalen, you got me. You're right. I can't think of any other quarterbacks with nicknames off the top of my head.
There's got to be some. Textures will flood us with them in a matter of moments. I do love, though, when Cole Kmet says he's always had confidence of believing he's one of the best 32 in this league. Flashing back now to Andy Dalton here as a backup telling Cole Kmet, you're damn right I'm a starter. I ought to be a starter in this league, right?
Yeah. Cam Newton was Superman.
Oh, yeah, Superman.
Dalton always maintained that, man. I mean, even when Fields took over, it was like, look, hey, you know, I'm here to help. I'm definitely here to help, but I feel like I'm a starter. So good for the Red Rifle.
Groats, thanks so much for the hit.
Got you guys. See ya.
That's Mark Grody. He's fantastic.
The Pillsbury Throw Boy.
R.I.P.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
Yeah, it's too bad.
That's too bad.
It really is. When we come back, Spiegs, I went and did something that I've never done in my 49 years as a Chicagoan yesterday. I'm going to share with you all of that and get your thoughts on it.
And a bag of chips.
Next here on the...
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
Torrey Taylor has been outstanding punting the ball.
I think you're going to get an on-brand Aussie-style punt end-over-end with a ton of height under it.
Looking for hang time, and he's going to get it. And Smith is going to wave it out. And that is perfectly placed with the backspin punt. And the 27-year-old from Melbourne knows he did his job.
Look at the backspin on the bounce.
Perfect. Jonathan Owens with his wife Simone Biles in the building. Downs it. And Taylor knows that he aced it. But now it's up to Matthew Stafford.
That guy, Lawrence, that guy. I saw the stat that his punts, the win expectancy numbers, if you're into such things, all jumped. Like his last two punts, one jumped by 7%. One time it jumped by 8%. It's just like that's one mathematical way of talking about it. But you were there in the stands to enjoy the excitement of that game. Tell us about it, because you said the Torrey Taylor punts was a factor in your enjoyment.
So. Yeah, it was like a thing. So I've never been to a Bears game as a fan. Never. Like, not, it wasn't something that we, like, if
not in the 90s, not in the 80s.
No, like, no, we didn't go. That wasn't really our thing. If we were going to sporting events, we would go to baseball games.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents being teachers, like, they would get, like, discounted tickets and stuff to the White Sox. And you had, like, back then in the 80s, where a lot of schools on the south side, and I mean, south suburbs probably too, would get the attendance thing. You get to go if you had, like, perfect attendance.
Yeah.
So we go to baseball games, and my uncle George would always take us. He would always, like, surprise us with a Bulls game. Like, we every now and again, he'd be like, hey, picking you up. It's Christmas morning. The Bulls are playing the Knicks. We're going.
Yeah. Bears games are expensive, though, and they've always been expensive. I think I've only been to one now that you're talking about it.
Yeah. So I'd never gone as a paying customer, although I wasn't technically paying yesterday. I got invited by Mai Martinez from our sister station, WBBM. Mm-hmm. She was like, hey, do you want to come to the game? And I was like, yeah, let's go. It was a really cool experience. I also, the other thing is that I would ordinarily drive to a game. Like, you go in there as a member of the media, 8:30, 9 o'clock or so.
Sure.
You head on over, and from where I'm at in Hyde Park, it's like 7 minutes to Soldier Field.
But if you're going as a fan and you're going to arrive at 10:30, 11 or something like that, driving is death.
It's a really terrible idea. So I took the Metra, Electric, which is the same line that actually runs into our building. And it was great. I talked to so many fans. There were a lot of people who were very excited about like this show. And I was just kind of there. And this older woman said to me, she goes, "Why are you taking the train?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "I assumed that they like helicoptered you into Soldier Field." I was like, "No, like I would drive, but there was the half marathon that was going on." It was a really great experience. I'm on the train and there were people who, you know, I've talked a little bit about like having some social anxiety. Like I don't go to a lot of games partially because of that now. And there were people who were very respectful of that. I don't know if they knew that or if they just are nice people, but they were giving me space. And then someone was like, "Hey," and they started talking to me and like, "I know your brother's best friend." And I was like, "Oh." And so I end up talking with them and sitting with them on the train ride, being able to walk and talk with Bears fans as I was walking into the stadium, and then sitting there with my and watching the game. We had killer seats, like killer. 338, row one. I was right behind the Bears bench. So I got to see stuff from a different perspective.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was, and the press box is on the other side. So the press box is on the east side. I was on the west side of the stadium. And being there was...
So above the Bears bench, so you can see some personal dynamics. You can see some coaches coaching.
You can keep an eye on players and what they're like when they come off the field, or maybe players who weren't starting in the game. You could see what they're doing on the sideline. And it was cool. And then to walk out to Bears fans after the win, because there was a lot of booing and groaning that was going on.
Oh yeah, man. You could hear it. You could hear it on the TV, and some of the boos, well deserved, a lot at the end of offensive drives in that first half.
But seeing people walk out and then they started chanting "Green Bay sucks" because they do the thing at the Bears games now where they give the scores, and whenever they mention Green Bay, it's the team up north. And even though it was the Vikings, who you should be scared of and they should be on your radar, even though it was the Vikings beating up the Packers, people really enjoyed that. So it was awesome. I don't know if I'll ever get the opportunity to go again as a fan.
Hmm.
I really enjoyed it. It definitely helped with point of view and perspective on the game. And then there were the people that were sitting in the section, the ones that did. Someone said to me this morning, they said, "I didn't recognize you because you weren't wearing your glasses." And I was like, "What? Like seriously, we're doing the Clark Kent Superman thing? Like, I can do this? And now all of a sudden I'm unrecognizable?"
It's completely different.
And then they saw the video that I posted, the score posted, and they were like, "Oh, you were sitting right by us." Like, yeah, I don't know. Okay, I mean, I guess that's how Lois Lane got fooled for all of those years.
So tell me something that you noticed about a player. You referenced somebody who didn't start. You got a chance to watch somebody.
I don't want to go all the way in on that particular guy.
Okay, well, I'll go in on that guy because I have been for a couple of weeks. I think Nate Davis, unfortunately, is a dog. I think he's a dog with fleas. I think that he has all the earmarks of a dude who got paid and stopped giving a crap. And it's been a slow and awkward benching. And then yesterday, this past week, it was a full-on benching. And then because of Tevin Jenkins' injury, which is unfortunate, and we'll learn more about it as the week goes on, Nate Davis had to go back in.
And Nate had some good moments.
He did. Had a good drive block on the big DeAndre Swift 36-yard touchdown run, as pointed out by Olin. Sure, I I'd like to see some more of some all 22 to see what I could learn about Nate Davis playing. So I'll go in on that guy, but I didn't have the benefit of watching him on the bench.
Texter says, who's the guy with Spiegel? Where'd Lawrence go? When I took my glasses off. That's pretty funny.
Freaked him out.
But thanks to everyone. I ran into a pair of fans that were big Justin fans. Still, and one of the young ladies was wearing her Justin Fields jersey. She said that she went to Latrobe for Steelers training camp and tried to get him to sign it. Like, it was fun. It was really, really fun. Shout out to Mai for setting that up. And we had a great time. And it was just a really cool experience. I'm glad that I got that experience. It's one of those things where you don't know you need it until you experience it. And having it now is, I think, a good thing to put in the golf bag.
Well, that's awesome. And you can bring it to your analysis of the games and your connection with the people. I'm going for the first time as a regular season fan, probably in like 30 years now that you talk about
it. Yeah, it's strange.
Maybe 25. I'm going next week, me and Ruben and Christine. So with wife and child, all three of us going, sitting somewhere in the 100 level with a friend and his son. So Ruben will get a chance to feel a Bears game live and feel that intensity. And looking forward to it.
Can I just say, like, real quick, like, one of the problems is that when you start covering a team that you grew up loving, like I did, you have to divorce yourself from it a little bit. So as I've grown in the business, my Bears fandom has gone away. Like, I wouldn't even consider myself. I don't think it would be fair for me to say that I'm a Bears fan. I root for individuals, and I always want the Bears to do well because of how it reflects on what we do here at the Score. So it was nice to just kind of be around that. Like, it was around, like, me being around people who are so passionate and seeing it firsthand instead of experiencing it the way that I'm used to, which is a little bit more clinical, if any of that makes sense.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Kenny and I are going for the first time in 40 years tonight. They're playing another game
for us
tonight.
Bears are going to play again?
Yeah.
First time in 40 years.
Yep. Kenny and I were sitting at the 50.
You know, it's cool.
First row.
Is that Stubbs?
I'm just playing. Well, Shane is sitting on 50 on one side of the field, and I'm going to sit at the 50 on the other side.
And they're just playing the game for Tanny and I.
You know, Stubbs is going tomorrow for the first time in 60 years. So,
nice. So he's got to be there.
Studge is going to call the game. He's got the play sheets.
No, Grody's got the play sheets. Like he looked in the studio last week. All right, fine, one-uppers, whatever.
They're playing a game for us. Ask Jalen about it. He'll tell
you. I think that's pretty impressive. I've taken up all the oxygen in the room, and I apologize for that.
Soldier Field is off the chain today.
No, you're right.
You're good.
I've only been to one ever regular season game, just one. It was like 2 years ago with Manley and one of his buddies, and it was way, way, way cooler than watching on TV. I just don't want to do it all the time.
I agree.
And I've often thought that I'm serving the audience best by watching it on TV like everybody else, but the way Lawrence is describing what you're able to see, I'm going to be the dork taking notes in the stands.
Well, the thing is,
because I'm 100% going to be that guy.
Is that if I were doing a solo show, I would feel like there was a dereliction of duty. I actually think this is better, where I experienced it one way,
absolutely,
you experienced it another way, and we can bring both of those things to the airwaves.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it.
All right. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, there's something that we need to dig a little deeper into as it pertains to conversations around this team. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes with you until 6 on the Score.
Talk about quarterbacks. We bring in Jake Glazer for the first time. All right, let's talk about that Bears offense because they haven't met expectations this season. What are you hearing out of Chicago?
So how about this? I talked to Mercedes Lewis last night. Mercedes said he, Cole Kmet, and their quarterback Caleb Williams all went and had a private meeting. Well, it's not private anymore. With Caleb Williams. And said, hey, coach, we're not a Pop Warner team. Like, you got to coach us up. Coach me up. Even though I'm in year 19, coach up Caleb, even though he's a rookie, you got to get more aggressive in coaching us together, and he does think there's going to be a difference.
So I love that. I love that they had a meeting. I love when Jake Glazer's scoop is something we got on Wednesday from Mark Grody. I love that. Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. After the game, the big dog, Mercedes Lewis, got the game ball. Here's a bit of Eberflus and the big dog himself talking about the win. And he mentions the meeting, or at least mentions the conversation and the communication that went on during the week.
Feel good.
Yeah. Feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. Taking a moment, big girl.
Football is my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I've done a lot of dope outside of this, but ain't nothing better than experiencing victory with y'all, man. Mm-hmm. Right? Everything we talked about during the week showed up today. Now we can look in that mirror. We are who we know we are.
Yeah.
Right? So the big part of it is coming back next week and doing it again. Mm-hmm. Right? Anybody can do that once, man. Anybody. We're special in here, man. You gotta believe it. Right? We can say it. You gotta believe it. We're special. We work hard as we deserve this. Right? This is not by accident. I'm so grateful, man, to be at this point in my life, 40 years old.
Damn.
Real 40 years old. You guys keep me young, man.
It's crazy.
My spirit. We always have a high state of mind and whatever it is that we're doing every single day, so we show up authentically every single day. Let's get in here and bring it in tight.
Yeah. Hey, Phantom on three, 1, 2, 3.
Damn, that's Mercedes Lewis post game.
The big dog.
Yeah, drink it in, big dog.
Feel good, man.
Yeah. Feel it. Yeah. Taking the moment, big dog.
Taking the moment, big dog. That's Tez.
And the big dog gave us all of that information last week, and it could have been a disaster. Like, it could have looked like this was a rudderless ship that was out there, and had they lost the game, it would have felt a lot worse. I think that there are some real positives in what we saw.
They had honest, difficult conversations, man. How many teams have we watched and seen dysfunctional and known that they should have been having honest and difficult conversations?
Jimmy Butler Bulls.
Dude, it's exactly right. How many times did the Bulls front office not have those conversations? Whatever.
2004 Cubs.
I mean, there's a million of them. We should be praising the idea that they were getting together and talking about stuff.
2022 and White Sox.
All the issues that we touched on all week are ones that they seemed to have been talking about and trying diligently and smartly to conquer. Let's not do this. Are they having too many meetings thought? Talking through issues is good. And this sport specifically demands teamwork and full, clear communication, accountability. That's what so many people love about football. It's even more necessary in this sport than it is in others. And whoever's capable of being the clear, humble adult communicator has to step up, because not everybody is. And that might mean sometimes that coaches are not capable of it. We know that Cole Kmet's a real talker. We know that Jalen Johnson's a real talker. We know that Mercedes Lewis is a real talker. If Shane Waldron isn't, or is a little bit nervous, or a little bit overwhelmed, or whatever it is, then let the players be the ones that bring that conversation to the coaches. That is a good and healthy thing. Don't let anybody tell you it's not.
What you don't want is for there to be some regret because you didn't. And you're right. There are different types of personalities that make up a team or a coaching staff, and that needs to be respected. And Shane needs to know how to work with the people that he's working with. So what better way for him to find that out than those guys telling him what they need?
It's a new job in a new place, and he's trying to do a lot of stuff, and he's a human, and he might get nervous or overwhelmed or not be able to communicate everything he needs to. If the players can help with that, then that's freaking beautiful.
I was talking about Reardon and not Waldron.
Of course. Shane and Chris.
Shane, no! Damn it, Shane, stop it! Shane, don't do it! No! Shane, no!
Don't do it, Shane.
Yeah, there are a couple instances that we could have used that.
There's no doubt about that.
I can think of a couple.
Why don't we ask...
There'll be another one.
Jalen Johnson about this, because he would know better than us. He'll give us his perspective on everything. Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock is a must-listen. Don't go anywhere. He joins us next on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.